And Happy New Year, everyone. And those of you in Hawaii, next hour, it'll be your New Year, 2022. So a Happy New Year in advance, because we'll be going off the air by then. So don't forget, we'll have a live show for you on New Year's night. And then we get into the year. Here we start all over again. You know, the period of October, November, December, for me personally, has always been one of my favorites. I just love the Halloween season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. It's just great. Now it's over. It's done. And now we get back to work, and then we really start pushing. So let's keep going. We'll be back with Open Line Calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, this is magician Brandon Scott, hoping you're having an awesome New Year's Eve and wishing you the best for the year 2022 and beyond.
Ah, Brandon Scott, great magician, and he's always out at the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, which is quite a place. If you ever get out to L.A., you got to go to the Magic Castle. It's a great place. Let's go back to the calls. Carlos in San Francisco to get us started. Hello, Carlos.
Hello, George. Happy New Year to you. And
you too, sir.
You know, I just wanted to say that this is great. You know, this is your 20th year of hosting Coast to Coast, so this is really great to talk to you tonight. And again, Happy New Year, and to your staff. And I just want to thank Tommy's father for his service in law enforcement. And I also wanted to thank the earlier caller, Joe, for his service, and just really admire him as for his service and also for his battle to manage his sobriety. So, and what he's doing. And, you know, I wanted to thank also the callers, and, you know, particularly, you know, Thomas from La Jolla and Mike the Millennial and Cornelius. And a lot of it's because for what they share, but also just for their breadth of knowledge and the insight that they give, and they preface in their questions. And so I just hope that in 2022, I hope that Cornelius enjoys good health, and I hope that Mike Millennial's family is okay in the light of the fires. And, you know, there's another thing, too. I wanted to compliment guest host, Mr. Serrett, and Lisa Gar. I think they do a great job. And so I just wanted to offer that to them. And I wanted to say that I really enjoyed last night's guest. But I also enjoyed the guest that you had recently on who did some she was a doctor of psychology on empaths. And there was a caller that had called on distressed asking for help, and I just have kept that caller in my prayers, and I hope that that caller was able to connect with that guest and got some help. And finally, there was one of the guests that you had that did some research on the JFK assassination, and I wanted to get on the show, but I couldn't, because the one thing I wanted to ask of all the interviews that this person did, if he interviewed the person that came out as the mistress of Oswald, if he'd interviewed her. And those are my comments. And again, I just want to say I appreciate your show.
Thank you, Carlos. You've been also yourself a great caller over the years, and I appreciate that. We'll continue doing stories on JFK. You know, they released 1,500 files, of which Mark Shaw says about 1,000 of them were legible. But they didn't say too much. They're not giving much information these days. He liked the files, by the way. He did. The rest of the mainstream media didn't think there was anything there. Let's go back to Mike in Denver. Welcome to the program. Michael.
Good morning, George. Hopefully I'm coming in clearly. Can you hear me okay?
You are. And are you in harm's way from these fires?
I am not. I actually had a really good friend who actually had to evacuate her house yesterday, but she is okay, and she's actually back at her house. But George, not a good week for Colorado with these fires, and then with the shooting earlier this week. So just so many tragedies. But how are you?
I'm good. Can you smell the smoke, by the way?
We can see it. Yeah, we can see it from our house and about 5-6 miles out when we just go driving. You can see all the smoke, and I think it's died down. We got a lot of snow today, but yesterday it was just
horrible.
Devastating, that whole area of Louisville, which is, I know, the area you filmed Gaia TV in.
Yeah, we're supposed to be out there in a couple weeks, so I hope we can get out that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm just keeping everyone in my prayers out there and all the first responders who have been doing an absolutely amazing job putting their life on the line to put these fires out. It means so much. And thank you to all the law enforcement and firefighters and first responders out there. It means so much. But you know, I really hope that this is a good year, George, because we, you know, 2021 obviously was a very challenging year. You know, obviously not a great year for radio as well, with, you know, the death of Rush Limbaugh. And I'm holding out hope we have a good year, you know.
We are entitled to it, and we need it, Mike, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And you're a big part of that, George. So.
Well, we keep going. Everything else good for you?
Everything's going really good. My mom's doing good. You know, she just graduated. You know, she has a psychology degree now. So
good for her.
The future is bright. Yeah, the future is bright for her. And, you know, I'm holding out hope. I did have a prediction, if you want.
Let's hear it. Sure.
So I predict that this is going to be a comeback year for radio, and specifically AM radio. You know, I think there is a silent majority out there that radio is extremely important to them. And I think because radio is one of the only places that people's rights can be spoken up for, like what you do, George, I think you really speak up for the silent majority, the people that want the right to choose if they want to get a vaccine or not for their own health. I mean, you are the voice of tens of millions of unheard Americans in this country. And I just think that radio is going to have a huge resurgence in 2022.
All right. That's a great prediction, Michael. Well, thank you. I appreciate everything you do for this program as well. We just want to be the voice of reason and in truth. Tom, what do you have for us? Texts and tweets.
This one from Brian in New Mexico. Have you seen the movie that's all the rage, Don't Look Up? And if so, what did you think of it?
Is that the one with DiCaprio, right?
Yeah, Leonardo.
Great movie. I saw that last week. It's on Netflix, I believe, right?
It is.
And it has to do with
He's a brain. He's like a physicist.
He's like an astrobiologist or something like mm-hmm. that. And they spotted his intern, his trainee, who's working on her PhD. PhD candidate, spotted a comet heading right for Earth. And she predicted it was going to hit at a certain time. And he did some mathematical studies, and it was going to be a collision course. And they tried to warn the president, and she laughed it off.
Yeah.
But it was a great movie. I liked it.
And nobody believed it. And then, boom.
We've done shows like that.
It's relevant, yeah, because of the shows that we do about those and the grid and so forth.
That's great. You miss Breaking Bad, though?
No, I always watch it. Watch it like six times through.
I mean, would you like new episodes?
Oh, no. I think they took it where they should have taken it, and I thought it was a great ending. And I wanted to tell you, though, to switch gears a little bit, I'm very sad about Betty White.
Well, she was 99, though.
I know, but
I mean,
I
adored her. She was, you know, my mother's 92. She's in that age bracket. But when you get to be 99 and pass, that's a good run.
Yeah, I know. It's just hard to think of it that way.
Don't be sad. She had a great life. And then you know, and take that position, you'll feel better.
Such a comic genius.
Oh, she was incredible. They had talked about Alec Trebek had hinted that she would one day be his replacement on Jeopardy.
Oh, wow.
And that was years ago, but she would have been good on that
show. She would have been fantastic. I was reading accounts of people that were saying they worked in the industry. They'd give her a piece of paper. She'd look at it for like a minute, go, I got it, and then just deliver. What a talent.
But more importantly, she was fun to work with.
Yeah.
You know, she was generally a good person. She didn't have that ego. She wasn't mean to people. She just worked with them.
And she liked animals.
99. She would have been 100 in about 2 weeks.
They were going to run a special. I don't know if they're still going to run it, but...
They should.
Yeah, I think they should.
They should. Okay. Absolutely. Okay, thanks. Let's go to Gordon, Plant City, Florida. Hey, Gordy, we read one of your predictions earlier.
Thank you for acknowledging that I made the direct hit. So I'm primed and ready, so I won't miss a note like I did last time. There was a few things I should have said. Now, there are going to be moral failures, wars, civil unrest, immorality, decadence, persecution of believers, and here's how we're going to get here. The weather is going to be a bunch of solar flares, a bunch of earthquakes, hurricanes, droughts, floods, tornadoes, wildfires, like in Colorado, comets, and that's going to affect technology, which will in turn affect the economy, which will in turn exacerbate famine, pestilence, diseases, pandemics, epidemics, and spandemics, and plagues, heart attacks, cancer, strokes, and people's hearts will fail them for fear, as the Bible says. And I want to clarify, even though I was correct on most of what I said, and I think that most of what I'm saying now will happen in the year, I don't speak in the name of the Lord with regard to the year. That's just my belief. But everything that I said will happen, and then some as well. But my personal belief, and we're going to test that out, is that I will be pretty accurate within the year period. It could be worse. I think that it's going to be a little bit of an eye of the storm thing. But I'm saying the grid is going to take a hit, and that I'm almost certain about. And I'm working with all the high people, and I hope to have my website is updated. But I want to get the payment things updated. They're updated, but when I have more time, I want to invoke. By the way, the Klingon Armada has having come back from the future can verify that most of this is correct, and we may invoke our one ship. But I don't think that there will be enough time tonight to do it unless you want to give me two chips or something like that. As far as my website and the donation link,
not yet.
Let me tell you something. This is an open line. Even though I'm not going to advertise for my website, I want to say that I'm taking time off from paying work to fight against lawmakers in order, and they're getting paid big money to wreck the economy, to wreck the grid, and to cause civil unrest. And I'm taking time off to fight it. And I'm a very upset person because people are making fun of me like I'm stupid.
Well, let me ask you, Gordy, what are you fighting? What's the thing you're doing?
Okay, now the main on my projects, the flagship matter is the grid. That can only happen if you cut pork barrel excess spending. The pork spending is not going to happen unless the threat of bankruptcy is in the hand of students to make the Department of Ed lobbyists back off and stop bleeding us trillions upon trillions. All these old geezers are like, by God, I ain't using my tax dollars to pay your student loans. Yes, you are, because you're not telling the lawmakers to stop it. And I'm telling the old geezer, stop arguing with me. Start calling
Let me tell you what's going to probably happen. I think a lot of student loan debt is going to be canceled. That's my guess. Let's see what happens on that. That's another prediction on my part. I think it'll be gone. Gordy, thanks. Appreciate it. Joe in the Bronx, welcome to the show. Hello,
hey,
Joseph.
George. Happy New Year.
You
Happy
too. Year Looking to forward you. To a good 2022.
Oh, yes, definitely. I wanted to speak to you about the poetry of destiny. Okay. On my father's side, because the motto was the son of my grandfather's mother. I mean, I'm sorry, my grandfather's sister. Because the motto found Mike Tyson in Brooklyn, took him under his wing, and he trained him to box.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Mike Tyson
turned him into a champion.
Right. He becomes the youngest heavyweight champion in boxing history at the age of 20.
Who's the heavyweight boxing champion now? Nobody knows.
True.
Those days of Tyson, Muhammad Ali, and all those people, those great names. Right. Nobody knows who the heavyweight boxer is.
Well, Costamato himself was introduced to boxing by an uncle of his who was my grandfather's brother. And, of course, Costamato had the peeky boo technique, which Mike Tyson utilized. But what I'm saying is that without Costamato, there is no Mike Tyson.
Oh, that's probably true. I mean, Tyson had the heart. He might have eventually got into it, but training is critical.
True.
Who was Ali's trainer? What was his name? I forgot his name.
Offhand, I can't really think of him right now offhand.
Dundee. Angelo Dundee.
Angelo Dundee. Correct. Thank you. But Costamato had, including Mike Tyson, had three heavyweight champions. He had Floyd Patterson,
yep,
Jose Torres, and, of course, Mike Tyson. So it's just very interesting how destiny comes together.
Here's a quiz. Who knocked out Floyd Patterson?
Let's see. Was it Sonny Liston?
It may have been. Was it Ingemar Johansson?
Oh, yeah. It could have been.
I think it was.
Okay.
I think it was.
Yeah, because my boxing knowledge may be a little foggy going back to that.
But who did Liston knock out to become the champ? Because Ali knocked out Liston.
I believe knocked out Liston.
But who did Liston knock out to become the champ?
Good question. Okay.
It's a trivia question.
Ingemar Johansson, I guess?
Maybe he knocked him out.
Right. Yeah.
That's very possible.
Very possible. And what I wanted to ask you is, do you see the poetry in destiny?
What do you mean?
I mean, in terms of, have you had any experiences where you say, whoa, that's, you know, it can't be a coincidence. It's got to be destiny.
I don't believe in coincidences. You know that.
Right.
Everything, I think, has a reason, as fate. We determine it a lot, but things are predetermined and magical, matchups with things. I just don't believe it's coincidence or luck. I don't.
Have you had experiences or instances where destiny has taken the wheel?
Well, let me tell you a story. Let's see how much time we have before the break.
Okay.
I've got a minute or two. And let me tell you this. Okay. Back when I was in my 20s, I was producing a television newscast in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
My anchorman was a fellow by the name of Ken Thomas. And Ken was our anchorman, and he changed his name, but that was his on-air name. And he used to bring in his little boy who would run around the newsroom and have fun, little tiny kid. And I'm telling you that because there's a reason for that. Jump ahead years later. Years later, I'm, you know, in broadcasting, doing my own talk show in St. Louis.
Yes.
I'm filling in for Art Bell, doing my backup stuff. Art decides to retire.
Uh-huh.
They call me up at Premier, and the president of the company is a fellow by the name of Craig Kitchen.
Okay.
And Craig brings me into his office, flies me to Los Angeles, and they make me an offer. He's got a picture of Ken Thomas on his desk. Ken Thomas's real name was Ken Kitchen. The little boy was the president of Premier who hired me.
Wow.
Now, you can't make that stuff up.
You can't, no. I mean, that's definitely an example of the destiny, the kind of destiny I'm talking about.
Yep, absolutely. Joe, thanks. Have a great new year. Keep in touch with us. You've been a great listener and caller for us. We're going to take a short break and come back with more open lines. Those of you on hold, we will get to you right here on Coast to Coast. And also, don't forget our YouTube channel. Want to keep talking to you about that. And also, TikTok, okay? I always want to say tic-tac. TikTok, just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Right at the top of the homepage, you've got all these icons. Sign up for all of them. Facebook, Twitter, they're all free. Just take advantage of it and have some fun, and you can do that. But we're going to come back in just a moment with more final open line calls this New Year's Eve program. I hope you've been enjoying it. We did, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, New Year's Night, Connie Willis hosting the show with some great guests. I'll be on Sunday with some psychics throughout the night, taking your calls as well. And then we get 2022 rolling as we get back on Monday and keep doing our thing. But we've got a full slate of great programs for you throughout the weekend as well.
Hi, this is John Hogue, the Rogue Scholar, wishing everyone a happy and healthy holiday season.
2022. Oh dear, oh the pain. That does not compute. Wish it into the cornfield. Hi folks, it's Bill Mooney. Happy New Year. You're listening to Coast with George Norrie.
Ah, thanks, Bill. Twilight Zone's Bill Mooney. Great guy. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sean in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I was really impressed with John Hogue earlier, and I think he brought out the things that are not touched by any of the corporate media in the United States. The idea that in every case, or nearly every case, the United States is always a saintly, angelic protector of all good things, and the Chinese and the Soviet Union and Iran and North Korea and Cuba, Venezuela, any country that slightly dissents from the dictates of Washington and its corrupt politicians is always the aggressor. I'm glad he brought up, for instance, just Iran, proven forgery or misquotation of Ahmadinejad, President Ahmadinejad's quotation about Israel was totally false, but it's been solidified into stone for decades now.
No, you're right about that. That was an inaccurate statement that was taken out of context. But the biggest problem, Sean, right now is that Iran is working on nukes, and we've got too many countries that have nukes, and I don't know what's going to happen. And I do feel Israel just may take some preemptive strike to shut down those plants. I really do. Let's go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Robert's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Robert, thanks for holding.
Oh, no problem. How you doing, George?
Okay, hope you are too.
I got a major prediction here, and then a fun one, if you allow me.
Sure.
The major one is the Democrats are in big trouble, and they're not stupid. The people in the background are not stupid people. Trump was able to defeat everybody, but he couldn't do it forever. It finally fell on him. What I see happening is Joe Biden will not be president by midterm. Now, their ideal plan would be that he succumbs to COVID, but my prediction is he will not be president before the midterm elections of this coming year, this year. And Kamala Harris's job will be as cheerleader for Hillary Clinton. She's a good schemer, little hyena, laugh. Everything makes sense in her little sphere of the world. She'll say, Hillary was so nice to become vice president to help me out. She should have been president.
So you accept what John Hogue was saying, which is almost the same thing you're saying.
Yeah, I didn't listen to it. Did he say something like that?
Yeah, he believes Hillary will be asked to become vice president, and then all of a sudden she becomes president.
Well, and that makes sense because it gives her 2 years to woo the nation, okay, to show people, and she will act and look like president, and then right before 2024 is over with, Kamala Harris, for whatever reason, maybe she says, Hillary, the only reason I became vice president was to help my friend Joe Biden. should do a little hyena.
We will see if your predictions come true, to be my friend. Text and tweets. You got a final one for us, Tommy?
Sure do.
Got?
This one from Arcelia in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I heard you guys talking about Betty White, and I wanted to ask you, what celebrity were you thrilled the most when you met them?
Oh,
that's a good question.
Let's go with you first.
All right. I would have to say Patrick Swayze.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because that was like, we were at that restaurant and the maitre d' said, yes, you can go talk to him. He said, it's okay. And I was like 3 feet at the table talking to Patrick Swayze.
Right. These are the ones that I have met.
Okay.
I have met Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
I have met Robert Duvall. I have met Sylvester Stallone, Russell Crowe. That's a great story. I got to tell you that one again. And Mel Gibson.
Okay.
Who else have we met? Larry King,
Larry
of course.
King.
Don Rickles.
Okay.
Robert Davi.
Robert Davi, yes.
Robert is still appearing in movies, by the way. He's doing well.
He's a great character actor.
And he sings Sinatra songs. We've got to get him back on to sing a few songs for us.
Why not?
So
the question is, who are you thrilled the most when you met them? I got to tell you, it's a tough question because I don't really get thrilled.
I don't get thrilled, but yeah. I liked Russell Crowe, and he kept in touch with us. And, you know, he's back in Australia. COVID's got that country all locked down. But I was leaving a restaurant, and he was there. I didn't know it was him. And he stops me. He stops me. And he says, you're the guy on Ancient Aliens. I get recognized on that a lot. And I said, I looked at him and I went, and you're the Gladiator. And he said, yeah. So we, you know, we got to know each other. We stayed friends. He just sent me a Merry Christmas text. And that's kind of cool. But
is he going to come on?
I'm gonna wait until the first of the year and then just send him an invite. And I would love it when he comes back to L.A. to do some movie. But, you know, COVID's got everything shut down right now.
Yeah, they're looking for a lot of stuff that's already, you know, in the can.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you, Thomas.
There you go.
Next up, Scott's with us in Ventura, California. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Happy New Year.
You too, Scott. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to make a prediction that maybe is more of a hope than a prediction, but
okay.
There's a group that calls themselves the secret government of the U.S. They're privately funded, and they have the ability to read minds. And I'm predicting that somebody within that group will be a whistleblower in this coming year.
Interesting. Tell me more about this group.
Well, they investigate crime in general, but they're I don't know that much about them, and I'm not. They've told me I'm not allowed to speak about them, and they've threatened violence.
They've threatened violence. Okay.
Yes, but they also have people who have questioned their threats of violence. That's why I think somebody, due to morals, may come out and expose them.
And now, who's funding them? Do we know?
I don't know. They told me they called him the chairman. And they said he's not political, but you would know him.
Interesting. Okay, what's the name of the group again?
The Secret Government of the U.S. That's how they refer to themselves.
Secret Government. Okay, we'll keep our eyes out on that thing and see what's going on with that. Next up, let's go to Mary in New Jersey. Hello, Mayor. Welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, George.
You too, Mary.
Okay, I don't know why I keep remembering these stories. They're popping up now from my childhood, but this is the Ark of the Covenant. And at the very end, I have a question, Book of Revelation, chapter 11, at the end of it, okay?
Okay.
But my God tells Moses he wants replicas of what's in heaven. He wants the Ark of the Covenant made. So he assigns a man. A man has a little workshop. He's working on it, and he gets all the stuff in his eyes, and he leaves the room. And in comes two men, but these two men are also cherubs. They can appear as a cherub or a man. And they're in there snooping around. They're not allowed in there. They have no business in there. And they hear the man coming back, and they quick hop up on the ark. And he's saying, be quiet, be still, don't let him see us, right? Man comes back, sits down. No, his eyes are still bothering him. He can't see. He leaves the room again. And now the one cherub says to the other one, that's a fine kettle of fish you got us into. I'm like, oh, here he comes back again, right? And he sits down, and this time his eyes, he still can't see, but he's going to try. And he's slathering all the gold all over, and he seals them right into the ark. Now, they're sealed in gold, right? So all through the Old Testament, they're carrying the ark with God's permission.
Right.
But toward the end of the Old Testament, they don't have God's permission to take it out into battle. They're using it for like a good luck charm. So now they're in battle, and the enemy is hitting the cherubs with anything and everything, arrows, everything, and they're going, ouch, ouch, whip. And so they start, you can hear the crack, crack, crack. It's getting loose, the gold from their feet, crack, crack. They're trying to get off the ark. They get off, they hop down. They pick it up, and they said, oh, they're never going to find this, never. So if you go to the Book of Revelation, chapter 11, at the very end, this is like, could it possibly be? John looks up, the heavens open, and he sees an ark. And when I heard it, I start laughing because there's thunders and there's lightnings, and I'm thinking, are those cherubs still angry? And that's the impression I have, and that's chapter 11 at the tail end.
You think they'll ever find the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, they're still looking for it, but if the cherubs took it, no.
See, I think what probably happened is some multi-billionaire has got this thing, you know, and just took it and has it stored away somewhere in his house. That's my take of that. It really, really is. But Joe in Boston. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, George, thank you for taking my call. I want to wish all my friends Happy New Year. Hope things get better for everybody.
Thank you, Joe.
I enjoyed John Hogue, and I wanted to ask you a favor. I heard Kimberly Meredith. She's wonderful. As you know, I don't have Skype and all this. Is there any coast-to-coast listener that could help me get a reading? Because my medical situation's worse, and I read her biography. She's excellent. She's
yeah. How old are you now, Joe?
74. I'm up there.
So you were about 54 when we started doing the show altogether, because you've been a caller for a long time.
Yeah, it's hard to get through sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 74 now. I'll be 75 next year. But is there any way I can get some help? I'd really love to have a Skype reading with her. I don't have Skype. I'd have to go over to a coast-to-coast listener's house or something. I don't have any much money for that. But
all right. We're at the end of the show. What I'd like you to do next time around is call Tom and have Tom get a hold of her and see if she'll do something for you gratis to kind of help you out, okay? So give that a try. You can't do it tonight because he's swamped with all the callers. But, folks, thank you for participating in our New Year's Eve program. I had a blast. I really enjoyed it. We're going to be live for you on New Year's night tomorrow night with Connie Willis. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, George Knapp, and Connie Willis, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.